how on earth do I get my kid to stand in front of people and do a speech? So that's the topic that we are discussing today, is giving our kids the skills so that they can create speeches that are engaging, as well as perform and present things in front of an audience. So my experience is high school related, and I know how difficult it was as a teacher to get my students in my class to do speeches in front of the whole class. I think a lot of the time it comes from not wanting to look silly in front of their peers, and it is a real phobia that lots of us struggle with. The one thing that we can do though to tackle this is to just do it. So I know myself as an adult, I have a lot of anxiety around a whole range of different things. But each time I push myself to do something that I'm anxious about, the results I realize aren't as bad as what I had imagined. So my main experience with this phobia was actually when I got older, and my first time I had to speak to 800 kids at a school assembly was particularly nerve-wracking. So the butterflies, feeling sick, feeling sweaty, I was shaking, I had a quivery voice, all of those things. I mean, I never spoke in front of 800 kids before, 800 people. And so even though I was just letting people know about something that was going on in the school, I still had and still experienced these things. But once I'd done it, I realized that it wasn't as bad as I had created in my head. And so then I was able to do it over and over again. So obviously that's an adult version, but the same thing happens for our kids. So obviously we're well into term one. All schools will start doing their speeches for the year, kindergarten to year 12. And students are required to actually do one speech per year. This is particularly for, say, the subject of English, until they finish school. Now, obviously, there are a lot of kids that struggle with anxiety a lot. And so I'm not saying that we should be pressuring them to do something, but we also as parents want to make sure that we are giving our kids as much opportunity to grow their skills and to overcome their fears that they may have about writing speeches. So it does take time. It's not something that you can do overnight. But it is something that, because our kids have to do it until year 12 and across a variety of different subjects as well, we want to make sure that we are giving them every opportunity to develop the skill of speaking in front of people so that they can use this in their lives as well. So the reaction of feeling sick is really simple. We as humans are programmed with the fight or flight reaction when we're faced with something that we perceive as life-threatening. So you might have heard some of this before. Our society at the moment is so stress-induced, whether that's work-related or personal-related, that scientists have actually said a lot of the times our bodies are living in this life-threatening sort of mode, which can then cause a whole range of health issues, even weight gain and things that scientists have been saying are created by this constant stress. So speeches, we know, aren't exactly life-threatening, but a lot of us will see that to share our thoughts and our opinions in front of individuals or in front of a group or a class, it can feel life-threatening. One of the things, like I said, is that we're giving our opinion. So obviously we know that people are going to judge us and what we're saying or how we say it. And if we aren't a good speaker, if we have speech issues, if we, you know, aren't too sure and confident of ourselves as well, so kids and adults, you know, we will start feeling this anxiety factor. So according to Kids Matter, anxiety affects 6.9% of our kids between the ages of 4 and 11 years old. It's most likely to occur in boys, 7.6%, then girls, which is 6.1%. Now, obviously, those figures are only 4 to 11 years old. I can pretty much guarantee those figures are much higher for students between the ages of 12 and 17 because of the period of life and the stage of life that they are going through at that stage too. So we know though, and as a teacher I saw that the majority of my kids in a class, so even from year 7, really struggled with anxiety and the anxiety that was related to having to speak in front of their peers. And it was quite high. You know, as parents, we want to try and protect our kids from feeling that anxiety or that anxious feeling. So we might write them a note to say that they have anxiety and they can't say it in front of the class. But then what happens if all 30 of my students in my class all have notes to say they all have anxiety about speaking? And then if we write it once for them as a parent, then our kids are going to expect that next time they have a speech that we will write them a note again and again and again. So if your child obviously has really high anxiety issues, you can always get a note from the doctor to say that that's what they're suffering from, and your school teacher will create an alternative, whether that is allowing them to video their speech instead of saying it in front of the kids, or coming back at recess or lunch to say the speech then. But they will provide you options and your child options to complete that speech. But we really want our kids to be experiencing a little bit of the anxiety and a little bit of that fear so that they can overcome that. Because if we are constantly getting rid of that for them before they've actually given it a go, we're not giving them the skills that they need for their future as well. So we all experience our anxiety quite differently, and that's, you know, just usual. So, you know, your child might use the line, "I feel sick today, do I really have to go to school?" Even if they feel fine or look fine, even if they've had a good night's rest, even if they have no other illness signs at all, your child might have tummy aches in the morning but appear fine when they get home in the evening. All of these things are anxiety related stresses, but it could also go on for a few weeks before a speech or a presentation that the kids need to do as well. So your child could also become more jumpy than usual. They might tear up easily or be overly aggressive as well. And all of these are real signs that they're suffering from anxiety-related stresses in the school environment. So you shouldn't self-diagnose. You do need to see your GP if these symptoms are recurring regularly. But lots of our kids might demonstrate these symptoms, particularly when it comes to speaking in front of an audience. So when we are getting our kids to write their speech, you know, we know that getting them to write on a topic that they enjoy is the best thing for them. We know that getting them to practice their speech in front of us or in front of other family members is a good thing as well. So these are some tips and things for you in the rest of this podcast that you can use to both create the speech and write the speech, as well as some tips and things you might use with your kids to overcome some of this anxiety. So like I just said a minute ago, picking a topic of interest is really important. So the easiest thing to do to get our kids to write our speech is to get them to pick a topic that interests them. So if it's a primary school speech, generally it's the school speaking competition that they are needing to do their speech for. And there's usually a list of different topics of things that they can write their speech about. When we get to high school, sometimes they might, for English in particular, get to pick a specific book that they enjoy reading, or they might have to write a speech on the book that they're doing at school. So those things are a little bit difficult to pick something that interests them, but you want to encourage them to pick things that they know about the book and that they're confident about talking about in particular. So when we're interested and engaged with something, obviously, the whole task appears that it's a lot easier to accomplish. So if your child has a strong connection with the topic they're speaking on, they'll be really excited to share their knowledge with their friends. The next thing you want to think about is breaking the large goal into smaller steps. So I'm going to start with high school kids first. So, I mean, there are so many different topics that kids are doing in high school and so many different reasons why they might be writing a speech. So I think that's the first thing that we want to encourage our high school kids to look at is, why are you writing the speech? And it can't be because I'm told to. I know that's our first, because I have to, because I'm told to. But what's the purpose of your speech? So if you're doing design and technology and you are writing a speech on a particular invention, then the goal of your speech is to share information about your invention to your classmates. So the same way that we would with any assignment, where we have the main overarching goal and we break it down into smaller steps, that's what we want to do now. I call these doable tasks. Now, I have assessment sheets here that I've created where I encourage kids to write down what they need to do and then write each of their tasks down into small chunks. So you don't want to overwhelm your child, whether high school or primary school, and get them to complete a whole assignment in one afternoon, because that is really overwhelming, particularly if you have anxiety. We want to get them to think about the end goal and then write down a whole stack of mini steps that they need to achieve to finish the whole project. So if the end project that you need to create is a speech, your doable tasks might look like, the first thing, to pick a topic of interest. So one afternoon you might sit down to go through what things your child is interested out of the speech topics of doing. Now, again, obviously, if it's high school students, they might not have too much choice in the topic, particularly if it's a subject like English. They might have to look at a particular text. What they might do is look at what aspects of that text do they want to talk about in relation to the question that they might need to answer. So the second thing you might do, so that's only one afternoon. So the next afternoon, or 2 days down the track, you might get them to write down everything they know about that topic. So sometimes this is called a KLA chart, or KLW chart. Sorry, I'm trying to think of what it is. So like, what do I know? What do I need to look up? And what would I like to know about the topic? I don't even think that's the right name. That just came out of the top of my head. But basically, if we get them to start with everything they know, they have a starting point for their topic. And, you know, we really want to encourage kids to have their own thoughts. And this is really important. I feel that in our technology-driven society, more and more kids are very reluctant to have their own thoughts and their own ideas about something. We really, really want to encourage them to use their own thoughts and ideas, because their thoughts and ideas are just as important as anything that they will find online. So that would be the second afternoon. And then you might get them to research the topic further and make some notes. So a good thing to encourage your kids to do is to make sure they keep a list of where they've got all their stuff from, in case they need to use it for a bibliography as well. And that skill is something that we should encourage all kids to do in the first place, so that they aren't plagiarizing and stealing other people's work and ideas too. Then you might get them to decide what information is best and what are the most important points on your topic that they want to discuss. And then you might get them to put the information in an order that makes sense. And then once you've done that, you write your speech. And then you put your speech onto palm cards, and then you'd practice your speech. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So that's like 7 or 8 steps that you want your child to be working through to then produce that end speech. You then want them to practice eye contact and getting to know their speech so that they can say it more automatically than having to continually read their speech. And so that's another important point, is when we're writing our speeches, we want our kids to be confident in what they're saying and the information that they're giving to their audience. Because if they're continually reading off their work, that might also put more pressure on them if they struggle with reading. If you're using big words, get your kids to practice them and get your kids to know what they mean. So this is a big one. I've seen a lot of kids in, say, year 7 and 8 throw some massive words into their speeches. So they struggle to say the word. And then if I ask them what the word means, they don't know what the word means. So that to me is an indication that the child has just found information online and thought that would do. Okay, the other thing that you want to really make sure of is that they're answering the question or the topic. So all of these things need to have a revision process or an editing process to make sure that you have actually answered the question or the topic. There's nothing worse than putting all this effort into a speech and then getting the feedback that they didn't actually answer the question. That's really heartbreaking, particularly for kids that have put a lot of information or a lot of time and effort into their writing their speeches as well. So all of those doable tasks, when we're breaking it down into those smaller sections, make it easier for our kids to produce the end task. With younger kids, obviously that is great practice for when they reach high school and then their assessment tasks take on their own lives, okay? You could make it really fun and encouraging as well. So you could use stickers to tick off that each task's been completed with our younger kids. And with older kids, the doable tasks work really well for all assignments. So encourage your older kids to look at the marking criteria as well and make sure that they are answering what they've been asked to do. So if they haven't answered what they're being asked to do, then they're going to miss something. So those things allow them to have a clear understanding of what they need to do and also guide them on how to do it as well. You obviously then have lots of tips and tricks that you can use in speeches, and that could be things around making it fun, putting jokes in, asking rhetorical questions, involving the audience, so audience participation, getting the audience to think about something, raise a hand, answer a question. All of those types of things can make the speech more entertaining, but you also want to encourage your kids to look at who they're writing the speech for. So just as important as making the speech entertaining so that it's engaging for the people listening to it, if they're writing the speech for adults, for example, a group of adults, then they might deliver it in a different way. So looking at the context of the speech is equally important. Now, the other things that the rest of this episode's going to go on is about some different techniques that you can use to try and help your child overcome that anxiety they might have. So practicing relaxation skills is a big one. It is coming more and more into schools, and I think it's a really important skill that we want to give our kids, because we can use these skills for more than just speeches. We can use them every day. So there's been lots of studies recently on the benefits of relaxation skills and teaching our kids how to use them effectively. And there's been a lot of people doing relaxation skills in primary school as well. So one thing that you want to be thinking about with your relaxation skills is teaching our kids when to use them and how to use them effectively. So it could be just getting them to practice slowing down their breathing. So if we breathe in through our nose, we automatically slow our breathing straight away. If we are anxious or nervous, we generally tend to breathe through our mouths and we do it quite quickly. So if you get your kids to practice this when they are calm, breathing through their nose for 4 slow counts and then out through their mouth for 6 slow counts, not only can that tame the nerves of the actual speaking part of the speech, but it is a skill that we can obviously use in a range of different situations where they do feel anxious as well. So if your child is struggling on the morning of a speech, even getting them to close their eyes and imagining themselves standing in front of the class and speaking, we can assist them in making the negative self-talk be a bit less when they're focusing on practicing and rehearsing the skill that they're going to do as well. We can use that for a whole stack of situations. So before exams or tests, or when we feel angry, we can teach them how to control their breathing so that they can then do whatever tasks they need to do. The other thing that you might consider is thinking about creating helpful self-talk for kids. So we all do it. We all tend to talk to ourselves quite negatively at times, but positive mindset is one of the things that is really ramping up in society at the moment, and trying to encourage our kids to have that positive mindset is really getting them to talk to themselves. So if we think we can do something, we can often do it. And when we doubt ourselves, we obviously then have difficulties in doing the things that we want to do. So teaching your child how to reprogram their negative self-talk can actually assist them in so many situations. So rather than having them say, "I can't do it," redirect them to, "It will be tricky, but I can do this because I talk to people every day." So that redirection from negative to positive thoughts will over time become automatic for your child. It may take longer and it might take a lot of time for it to become an automatic thing, but we're reprogramming ourselves and our self-talk so that we can then tackle things that we do find quite intimidating as well. Role modeling for your child is also something that we use quite heavily. So you are your child's best role model. It's so true. If we are brave and we step out of our comfort zones and our kids see us do that, our children are more likely to do the same thing. So if you talk to your child about a time when you had to stand in front of people to speak and how you felt when it was over, think about what you had learned from that experience as well, then you're going to help them to realize that you have experienced the same things. Obviously, if we just say to our kids, "Oh, you can do it, come on." Well, yeah, that's positive, but how do they know they can do it if they're not sure whether you've had that same experience? Practicing in front of others is equally as important. And I said this right at the beginning, is that we want to practice. We want to practice in front of ourselves, mum or dad. We want to practice in front of a mini audience if you can as well. Any of those opportunities that we give our kids to practice then helps them to build the confidence to then speak in front of peers or a small group of their peers. So getting comfortable with speaking is easier when we have the time to practice in front of others and we learn our speeches as well, so that we're not looking down and relying on our palm cards. Asking for help. Speak up. So one thing that I found in the classroom was that if a child came to me with a note to say they couldn't do a speech because they were anxious, and that was the first time that it had been brought to my attention that this child had anxiety, well, sometimes I'm reluctant to recognize that that child might have anxiety, because we want, as a child's teacher, you want to be able to, or be told, that they find speeches tricky and speaking in front of people is quite difficult for them before the fact as well. And if they're not told, if we're not told as a teacher that your child's suffering from anxiety and they struggle with speeches, then we're not going to know. And so often schools, like I said before, will allow kids to speak in front of a smaller group of friends to sit in for the speech at a lunchtime. And that way that they can still get the marks for writing the speech and performing it. And most important, they get the practice of saying the speech in front of others as well. A lot of these skills that we're trying to develop in a classroom, such as speaking skills, also comes into asking questions in the classroom, or then doing presentations in higher school activities. And then sometimes that might be their career path as well. Try and try again is the next thing. Practice. Practice makes perfect. Each time your child completes a speech, get them to think of one thing that they're going to practice for the next time they do the speech. Only one thing. Little steps, one at a time, make the biggest difference. So if the biggest feedback that came out of the speech was you didn't answer the question, then next time you write the speech, with your child, you might get them to focus on answering the question. If the thing that they struggle with is they aren't using eye contact, then you might get them to practice using eye contact. Okay, so every time you get feedback from anything, not just a speech, you want to encourage your child to look at that feedback and think about how they're going to use that feedback for the next time they do something. So obviously there is a whole range of different techniques that we can use to help our kids overcome some of the anxiety that comes around at speech time. I will do another blog. So this will come up on a blog, but I'll do another blog about the specifics of writing speeches for you all as well. But this one was something focusing obviously around anxiety and how we can encourage our kids to give things a go. And I think that's the biggest thing that we want to encourage our kids to do, is to give it a go. We don't want them to shut down when they perceive that something is too hard or tricky or challenging. We want to give them the pieces that they need to encourage them to give it a go. We have stacks and stacks of tips and tricks on our Facebook page, our podcast. You can find us on Facebook. You can now find us on Twitter as well as Instagram. If you have anything that you'd love to hear us talk about for our next episodes, get in touch. We're always looking for new topics. And we hope that you got something fantastic out of today's podcast. You've been listening to Breakaway Tuition's podcast with Alicia Griffiths. We hope that you have enjoyed our episode, and we're looking forward to hearing from you all soon.